Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. This is the text. And an absolutely amazing thing that is done in that verse. It is transformational. It changes everything of who we are, who God is, the relationship between God and man. It changes what heaven is all about, what this life is about. It is simply one of the most amazing verses in the Gospel of John. And it goes back, goes way, way back into the Old Testament. And God, in Jesus Christ, calls us friends. Now, this also goes back in my life. Title for the sermon, Whose You Are. This is a saying that parents speak to their children, remember whose you are. And, of course, pastors say it to young people heading out into the world. Remember whose you are. And something that reminds me of a saying from my mother. You boys will have yourselves to have as brothers for the rest of your lives. You have no others. You are family. Remember, you were born into this relationship. You continue in this relationship. And remember this. Remember whose you are. And so, boys, stop fighting. Yeah. Rings familiar, doesn't it? But God pulls us into this relationship. Going back in the Bible, and what the people of the Old Testament call God? They called him the Lord. They called him the Almighty. And all kinds of different names about God. In Exodus, however, in Exodus, God reveals his name to Moses. He says, I am that I am. So he's the great I am. The people of Israel, turning it around, said, He is. Or in Hebrew, Yahweh. That is the personal name of God. Something interesting, though, happens to that. Just so you know the word Yahweh, the personal name of God. It's in Exodus 15. They're standing by the Red Sea. The sea is open. The Israelites have passed through. The sea is closed. They look back. They look back into Egypt, and they see that they've been set free, and now they're walking with God. And Moses and the people of Israel stand by the sea, and they sing a song. It starts out, I will sing to Yahweh, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider is thrown into the sea. My strength and my song is Yah, and he has become my salvation. Strange, interesting. Look that up once again just to make sure I had the exact verse. My strength and my song is Yah. What is that? It's not exactly the name of God. What's going on here? And kind of for illustration, what is your name, first name? That's your full first name? Daniel. Ah, but we all call you Dan. What is that? Shortened, otherwise known as a nickname. Now, wouldn't that be the most amazing thing if the people of Israel had a nickname for God? In fact, that is what's going on. And it carries on through the Bible, so you've got the nickname of God, Yah, and they build it into some of their names. For example, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and so on. How is that that God allows them to be so informal and familiar with him? It's quite remarkable, isn't it? And right there, by the sea, you would think the people of Israel would be singing and talking very formally. They've seen this amazing power of God. Oh, don't get in the way of God. Things can happen. But here they are coming close in a very familiar relationship, and God invites this. Call him by his nickname. And with that, you get a theme starting to run throughout the Old Testament of God saying, come on close. Come close to me. Don't hold back. And yes, there are times when the people of Israel do these very formal, long names of God. But then there are scattered all through the Old Testament the use of nicknames for God. And God's saying to them, yes, I know who you are. Yes, I know who I am. But come on close. Be my people. Come on close. Belong to me. You're my family. You're my children. Come close. And God says, if I didn't want you coming close, would I have giving you the sacrifices to teach you about what I'm going to do for you in Jesus Christ? Come on close. Little detour on that. Part of the practice of the temple was that when the people of Israel would come close to God and the sacrifice was made, it was a practice. It was called a fellowship offering. That the priest would take the sacrifice and roasted on the altar, and then he'd hand it back to the people, and they'd take portions of that sacrifice, and they'd go in there in the temple courtyard. They'd have a picnic. Let's go to God's house. Let's worship, and we'll have a picnic there with God. It's an amazing, amazing attitude on the part of God. And, of course, the people of Israel, they pulled back. Oh, we don't want to do this. We want to hold back because he's all holy and we're not. And yet God is saying, no, come to me. Your sins are forgiven. The sacrifice is made. The sacrifice will be made. Jesus Christ will go to Calvary. He will shed his blood, and you are right in my eyes, and you are welcomed, and come as close as you possibly can. And so the people of Israel, again, they hold back. And God sends prophets. And the prophets tell them, come close. One quote from Isaiah. I have stood all day with my hands outstretched to a reluctant people. And he invites, and he invites, and he invites. And God says, do you think I don't know about the sin? It's washed away. Behold, I have taken your sins and cast them into the depths of the sea, or I have removed your transgressions as far from you as the east is from the west. And he tells us that we are his. These invitations over and over and over again until you get to the Gospels and there in the beginning of John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Or first epistle of John, we read from it in the epistle lesson, but the first few verses, what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have touched with our hands and handled, the word of life, this is what we're telling you about. And the intimacy between God and his people is absolutely one of the most amazing things. So you begin to rethink, who is God? He's the one that He makes himself ours. Who are we? We belong to God and we are his children. We're brothers and sisters of Jesus. What is heaven all about? Ah, there we go. Is God planning his heaven so that he can pack enough people into his heaven so that he can have enough servants to do the things that God wants done? Well, that doesn't fit this pattern, does it? What is heaven? Heaven is where we get to be with Jesus, who's our brother, who is our friend, for whom, for Jesus, the most exciting thing about eternity is that he gets to spend it with us. And we read language about that at the end of the Bible, in the last two chapters of the Bible. But back once again to the gospel lesson, to that verse, John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants, but I have called you friends. Wow. So we were talking about this on Thursday. It was confirmation class. And in the course of this and looking through different verses, we came to this one, and I asked, what does the word friend imply? What field does it bring? What things does it bring to your mind? One of the kids says, equals. When you first run into that thought, your mind goes, no, that can't be. Because he's God and we're not. Couldn't be. Couldn't be that he's talking in the language of equals. But wait a minute, there it is. I've called you friends. What has happened in Jesus Christ is, yes, he knows he's God, we're not. He rules all things. We are his people, and he has to rule and govern and sustain our lives and all of that. But there is a part of his relationship with us where he just completely steps down and says, I have called you friends. This is completely unexpected, that Jesus would want to walk with us. Well, what's he like as a friend? Well, he's the one that invited Peter. Hey, if I'm walking on the water, Peter, come on. And Peter gets to go and walk on the water with Jesus, which is one of the most fantastic experiences of his life until he looks around and starts to doubt and begins to sink. But, let me suggest for the rest of Peter's life, the moments before he began to sink are going to stick in his mind, and he's going to remember and relive those over and over again. His friend Jesus called him to come walk on the water. What an amazing thing. Or in the upper room at the Last Supper, and Jesus says, who is greater, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? But I am among you as one who serves. And so he takes care of the disciples, his friends. Just as today, he takes care of his people, us, his friends. And Jesus comes to be with us through his word. And on other Sundays, through his supper, give us his body and his blood and tell us that we are loved and forgiven and we belong to him and the relationship is just as close as it possibly can be. This is our Jesus. So what is heaven going to be like for us? Will it be being with God and serving him? Or will it be the greatest part of heaven is to be with our friend Jesus, to have that relationship with him that goes on forever and forever to all eternity? But we have to pause here, because you know, I don't have to tell you or just remind you, that this relationship that he brings us into cost something. And because we had wandered off from God, he comes and seeks us out. He takes all of the separated from God aspects of our existence, and he takes them on himself. He takes all the sin, he bears it. He goes to the cross, he suffers, he bleeds, he dies, so that you and I can belong completely and absolutely belong to God, not as servants, but as his friends. What an amazing thing to be given from God himself. And to find out, well, this was the whole purpose right from the beginning. Really? Genesis chapter 3. And the Lord God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Why was he in the garden in the cool of the day? To spend time with his friends, Adam and Eve. This is our God. This is the relationship. This is the destiny he holds out for us. This is the promise of eternity set before us, his people. And it is, yes, as amazing as it can possibly be. In Jesus' name, amen.